Proverbs chapter 31, probably one of the most used Mother's Day passages since the Bible has been compiled and put together for us and given by the inspiration of God. You know, if you listen to any kind of Christian radio or sermons on the radio or whatnot, the week prior to Mother's Day, you can probably hear about 14 messages off of this particular text. And rightfully so, because it does show a great image, a good picture of what an honorable a woman, an honorable a wife, an honorable mother truly looks like. And it's usually called the virtuous woman. And let's go and take a look at the text. It says in verse 10 of Proverbs 31, the last proverb, last chapter of Proverbs, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, and she will have no, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships, and she brings her food from afar. And she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and holds her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry of herself for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and they shall rejoice. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. What a wonderful story, what a wonderful picture, what a reflection we see of motherhood. And how glorious it is indeed, and how thankful we are to be for the gift of mothers. For the gift of mothers. I'm pushing my button, and my button's not doing anything. Okay, Johnny, you're going to have to click for me. It's not clicking. So. All right, click that for me. The virtual woman from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 22. Go ahead and click it again here. Sorry. Virtuous. What do we mean by virtuous? It says the virtuous woman is found there. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? I looked through several other translations of the scriptures, and I came up with other words in place of virtuous. You know, it means a good wife. Who can find a good wife? You know, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It doesn't say that for the woman finding the man, though, does it? So it works a little differently there. But who can find a good wife? Who can find a capable wife? A capable woman. Who can find a woman of a noble character? Who can find a woman that is excellent? All these are from the popular modern translations that we have today. But yet, as we think about the virtuous woman and the virtuous wife, we need to also think about the title of the message today, which is the virtual woman. The virtual woman. And if you look up virtual in the dictionary, you're going to find some things about virtual. And here it comes up on the screen right now. All right, Johnny, you've got to pay attention today. So, All right. Virtual versus actuality. All right. So there's a difference between what we know as virtual. Maybe you play some virtual video games. You know, it comes from the modern context of virtual. It seems to come from computers. As a matter of fact, I found this on, I think it's Webopedia, which I didn't even know existed, Webopedia.com. It says the term virtual is popular among computer scientists, and it is used in a wide variety of situations. In general, it distinguishes something that is merely conceptual from something that has a physical reality. So if we think about what it means to be a virtual woman, and we look at the text as it describes it, based on the definitions that we have up on the screen there, it says it's something a little different from reality. And that definition goes on to say, the difference is a bit like the difference between an architect's plans for a house and the actual house. A computer scientist might call the plans a virtual house. To the one that the architect that designed it on the computer, he can say, well, that's a house, that's a virtual house, but yet it's not built. The concept is there. This is what a perfect house and a perfect plan would be for a house. And oftentimes when humanity gets involved with the construction of the house, it's not as perfect as the architect designed it to be. And as we look at this text today, a lot of mothers may leave feeling defeated, and they don't measure up to God's standard. But yet as we look at the virtual woman today from the text, we can see that this is the ideal. And yet, the actuality may be a little different as God shows us what perfect truly looks like, and ideal truly looks like, and excellent truly looks like. And as we go through these characteristics this morning, hopefully you may not meet all six of them that I'm going to give you, but there's going to be places you can tell you're strong. And where it's going to be helpful for you, and where you can plug in and see what God has to say about your motherhood and how God has blessed you. You know, in the Hebrew, this is a cool text because it starts in verse 10, and it goes through all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 10 begins with what would be our A and goes all the way to verse 31. And I checked it on the Hebrew Bible to make sure that was right, and so it was an acrostic. And so I could do an acrostic today and spell mother, you know, M is for the many things you gave me. We could do that. But instead, I decided to stick with 6 points today to break this down. The first thing is this. We know she's valuable. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. But she's also proven. The first thing is proven. She's proven. Look at verse 11 and 12. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. He does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's proven. You know, this is an important fact for us to understand. In any marriage relationship, couples, you need to know this, that you need to have a proven marriage. You need to have a proven relationship. It says there in verse 11 that the heart of her husband safely trusts her. So the husband has no doubt about the faithfulness and the genuineness of his wife. The heart of her husband truly trusts in her. You know, occasionally I like to catch Family Feud. Any of you guys like to watch Family Feud today? Steve Harvey and that guy and all this other stuff. I don't know who writes the questions sometimes, and I don't know who they're surveying sometimes when they do this. But they come up with some off-the-wall stuff on that show sometime. But one time the question was this: what is a key element in a happy marriage? And love was mentioned, and love was number two. Trust was number one. Trust was number one. When that trust is broken, that the relationship is not proven, it's not a comfortable situation to be in. Yeah, I think about that old ski boat I had, and I got another old ski boat. Last time I had the boat out was Labor Day weekend down at White Lake. Woo! Here we go. Last year. And the morning that we got ready to take it to the boat ramp, I think, wasn't Andrew, I was trying to pull Andrew around on the skis or something or other before we loaded up the boat. And because the water's calm on Memorial Day morning, that Monday morning, usually everybody else is already off the lake. And I had this strange noise coming out of my engine and strange smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe. I mean, it did not sound good. And believe it or not, I've not been all that excited about putting the boat in the water this year yet. Why? Because it's not been proven yet. It let me down. It made it later. It made it all the way to the boat ramp. Runs fine. The rest of the morning, which just a little bit of time, it did fine. I don't know what happened, if it was a fluke or what. But yet, when your car doesn't start when you put the key in it and somebody comes and jumps you off, don't you have that uneasiness every time you turn the key? Until it's had time to prove itself to you. All right, the virtual woman is proven. The virtuous woman is proven, and their husband safely trusts in her. Folks, don't do anything that will harm that trust, because when that trust is gone, it's so hard to get back. She's proven, all right? But she's also professional. She's also professional. I really like the way this breaks down. In verse 13, she seeks wool and flax. She willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships that brings her food from afar. She's a professional. She knows what she's about. My little sub-point here that I made up for it myself, it says she's one that takes care of business, all right? She's a professional. She knows what she's doing. There's three things about that we can see here. First of all, she's familiar. She's familiar with what it is that needs to be done. All right? She can see the job at hand. You know, I'm a jack of all trade and master of none, you know. When I am so moved, key words there, when I am so moved, I can do a lot of things. But it only happens when I'm so moved. It doesn't happen all the time. But a mother's job is never done, is it? The baby is going to cry in the middle of the night. The baby's going to need attention. The child's going to need attention. There's going to be something at the child's school. There's always something going on. The task is never done. I'm not saying that laundry is a woman's work. I wouldn't dare say that. But the laundry piles up. The house gets dirty. All these things happen. And something's got to happen in a systematic, organized way to see the home be a home. And the woman, she's professional. She's familiar with all the things that needs to happen. And also, she's focused as well. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household. So she's focused. She knows what needs to be done. She's going to get it done. I try not to make Tanya the object lesson of all my points this morning, so but I can give you some ideas where she focused on certain things. But you know exactly what it is, Mom. You know when you wake up, you have a list to do. You know what has to happen. You know if you got company coming over, you got a big list that you have to do before the company gets there. It's an amazing thing. The task that needs to be accomplished for the household to work is an amazing thing. And it takes great energy and foresight and love and care and mercy and grace for this to happen. But thank God that God has placed in our home our mothers. She's focused. And she's also faithful. Verse 16 and 17 says she considers a field and buys it. And from her profit she plants a vineyard. Isn't that something? She's faithful. All right. She's willing to invest. She knows there's cost. She knows there's sacrifice, but yet she sees what happens because of that sacrifice and because of that investment that things are going to be better off because of it. And our moms invest so much in the lives of our children today that they're constantly given. And your mom like that, constantly given, always faithful that God's going to bless them. Yeah, there is a verse of scripture there in the Bible that talks about that, and Johnny's going to show us that. There we go. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 5, verse 14. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And aren't you thankful for that management that takes place that only mom can do? She truly is a professional, isn't she? She knows what she's doing. She knows the tasks at hand. She's focused. She's familiar. And she's faithful. And that's a great thing. She's a professional. All right, the next thing is that she is also positive. She's positive. She has a great outlook on what has taken place. Look at verse 18. It says, she perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She's positive. She perceives that what she's doing is a good job and a good work and a worthwhile activity. You know, a mother that just doesn't care would not be a virtuous woman, would she? Wouldn't be a virtuous wife. But she sees no reward in it. And you wonder, why am I laboring over and over and over? You thought the 9 months of labor to start with was enough. But no, there's more than that lies ahead. She's got a positive outlook. She's confident that what she is doing for her family is going to be a blessing to her family and even a blessing to herself and even greater, a blessing for her Lord. We need to have that confidence. And really, we're in the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. And the whole theme of Proverbs deal with wisdom and the fear of the Lord. And here it is all culminating together in this positive image, this perfect picture we see of a virtuous wife. Because she's confident in her Lord. She fears the Lord. She trusts her Lord. And moms, how many times have you been in that situation where all you had left was your faith in God to help you through a hard time? Will those children ever get through this phase or that phase? Or will they ever get straightened out? But yet, God is merciful and He works through those relationships in your lives. She's positive, and that's a good thing. All right, she's also provisional. She's provisional. We see this happening here in the next few verses. It says, first she stretches out her hands to the staff and holds a spindle in her hand. And she extends her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's got hands that work. All right, she's not idle. She's got hands that are working. And I was looking, I didn't know what a distaff was, and trying to figure out this spindle stuff and trying to get an image of it. And I looked online. I didn't put it on the screen this morning, but you've seen the big spinning wheels before, I guess. Some people have those. And before the wheels were, not before the wheel was invented, but before the spinning wheel was invented, they had a distaff, which was a staff that the wool was on. The string came off of that, and they had the spindle down here, and the work was done there. So you had both hands busy, active, doing the work. Her hands are working, and that's a good thing. Her hands are working, so her hands work, but also her hands give as well. It gives to the poor. It gives to the needy. What are some ways it gives? Here's a little list of them right here up on the screen. And here they come. They give to the poor in verse 20. So there's needs around her. She gives to her family as well. In verse 21, it says she's not afraid of the snow for her household. You know, we think of snow as most of us think of snow as a delightful thing, you know, because we hardly see it in North Carolina. But for those of you that lived up north, you know it can become quite a burden. Well, you didn't have all the privileges that of the heat and such in our homes as we have now. And snow could be a very treacherous thing back in the Bible days. And what is pleasant for some today was could be fearful for others. But yet she provides for her family. Her household is clothed in scarlet. That that fine linen she's making is a wonderful thing. But notice also in verse 22, especially moms, she makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So not only is she helping out the poor, not only is she helping her family, but she also looks after herself as well. You know, sometimes that's the one that is neglected the most. That's why some women don't like Mother's Day. You know, I don't like the attention. It's not about me and all this other stuff. I think the video was pretty good. It tells the story. You know, 365 days, pretty good for Mother's Day, isn't it? So they do deserve it. They do deserve some pampering. They do need to deserve some time to take care of themselves. They do deserve time to rest and regain the energy so they can carry on the task that God has placed before them. It's a high calling to be a mother. And you need to look out for yourself. And I like the fact that in that text it says her clothing is fine linen and purple. And the purple, of course, is extravagant when it comes to scriptures and other days. The husband is on there as well in verse 23. And it says her husband is known in the gates and he sits among the elders of the land. You always thought that was kind of odd the way she's talking about all this stuff and then her husband is well known in the gates. Hey, that's such and such's husband over there, you know. What a way to be known. But I imagine in the context of what we're looking at and the work of her hands, can't you imagine he's probably the best dressed man there? If her linen is fine and purple, the husband really stands out because of the character and the virtuality of the wife. Oh, folks, you've got a wife, a loving wife, a caring wife, a trusting wife, and you got a trusting relationship. People will speak well of you and the community as well because of the relationship you have with your spouse. And folks, that's the way it ought to be. All right, so we want that as well, for providing for the husband and then providing for others as well. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. All these things shows how hands give. So her hands are working, her hands are giving. And how do they do that? Because her hands are strong. And we see that in verse 25. It says, strength and honor her clothing, and shall rejoice in time to come. If you jump back up to verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She's got strong hands. She's got strong arms. She's got a strong faith. And oh, that our faith could be that strong. It's starting to sound like I'm setting the standard too high to hit, isn't it? But yet, even with that, we've already said the difference in actuality and virtuality here. And God can bless you with that. She's provisional. The next one is she's protective. She's protective. All right? It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's protective. She's careful of even how she speaks, for when she speaks comes wisdom out of her mouth. And again, that's the one of the themes of Proverbs. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. Gentle words as they're being spoken. Words to build up. As she protects her family by building them up with the words and encouraging them with the words. You know, that I've heard some people see babies in the hospital or something like that, and I've never seen an ugly baby, never at all. But you know, some people say, you know, that's a face only a mama can love. You've heard that? But she's protective over her little ones, isn't she? She's protective over her little ones. She wants to be careful of the words that are spoken around them. She wants to build them up. She wants words of wisdom coming out of her mouth. You know, Sarah was talking the other night about how Abigail can now hear what is being said around them. She'll recognize the dog bark whenever. So that's what was making that racket, you know, that time. Because I was trying to get her to use. We still have one extra ticket for the Coca-Cola 600 in a couple of weeks, and I said, you know, I wonder if that would do permanent injury to her ears if she can hear, because NASCARs are just loud. I mean, painfully loud, and there's no way to put protection on them. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't put your child in that kind of environment. Why? Because you're protective and you're caring for them. I had a guy helping me out early in the week, before my little episode at the hospital, down here by the edge of the fellowship hall. And you notice most of the bushes are gone. The big old overgrown bushes that were there, they're all gone, but one and a half. There's one and a half still left. And I just like those two bushes. Thought I'd leave them there. No, that's not it. The half of a bush, if you were to go over there, I don't recommend that you do, you would find a bird nest with two little eggs in there waiting to be hatched. And I'm afraid they're too exposed. I'm hoping that animals or something doesn't get to them before that happens. But the guy that was helping me, he saw that, and he stopped there, and he went to the next tree, and Mama Bird came out of that tree. And there's one in there, and another nest with more eggs in there. And those birds are very protective over their young. And I think about what it says here. She watches over the ways of her household. If that's built and ingrained into nature, certainly it's built and ingrained into the mothers that are among us and the ones that God blesses with motherhood. So once those birds hatch and they're gone, those bushes will be history too. So I didn't just forget them, but there's a purpose for that. It's a blessed thing, all right? She's protective. And folks, you need to be protective of your little ones as well. You need to be careful of all the wiles of the devil that's out there trying to lure these little ones. Gracious, we've seen enough of that on the news lately. And finally, she's praiseworthy. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and praises her. Oh, if you've not given thanks for your mom or given praise to your mom lately, you need to do that if you had the opportunity. It may be that your mom is already on the other side of eternity, and you can only could do that through prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord for her. But yeah, you can always praise the Lord for them, for all that she tries to do. You know, I talk about my mom sometime, and her health has deteriorated quite a bit. And I grew up, and it really, I have to say, it wasn't a Christian home. But yet, I tell people that what I saw in her, most of you know that my dad committed suicide when I was 9 years old. There were a total of four kids when this occurred. And I tell people, you know, she did the best she could with what she had and the circumstances she was facing. And I'm thankful for that. And we're going to go see her in a little bit anyway. So I can still praise the Lord for that. Maybe you've had a mom that made make sure that you were in church every time the church doors were open. And you were attending the church 9 months before you ever were even born. So your membership goes way back. But that's something to praise the Lord for as well, that your mama brought you to church, or maybe your grandma brought you to church. She is praiseworthy. Rise up and call her blessed, children. Your husband, too, praises her. You know, there's a lot to be said for that. I told somebody, I was at the Walmart. Did I say that in the service before? There's in Walmart last night, and there was a guy pushing a shopping cart, had a baby carrier in it with a little baby in there. Mama was back there somewhere. And I just told the guy, don't worry, Father's Day is coming. You know, you're getting your day. But you know what, guys, you praise that woman that gave birth to your children. You praise that mother of the children for all the sacrifices, because really is. She is professional. She knows what she's doing. She's focused, proven. She's positive. She's provided in so many ways, and she's protective as well. She's praiseworthy. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, and that is so true. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And I believe that is for all times. So give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's the virtual woman. It's a time to set aside time. This is a time to set aside time to give praises to the Lord for the gift of our mothers. Virtuality versus actuality. Again, you may feel like you fall short in many ways, but yet God knows our weaknesses. God knows, oh gracious, He gave us the scriptures, says, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But the difference is the grace of God. God's grace is there for us, and He can help us get through whatever it is we need to get through if we just continue to trust in Him and give Him the glory for what He has done. We may not be perfect dads, and you may not be a perfect mom, but through God's grace, He can make something wonderful happen through your lives and through the life of your family. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.